come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
What are we getting on punch? Rogan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to Giants Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings. Paul Dottino and Roman Oben with you. We're here for the next hour, as always, Monday to Friday, as we present 1 hour of New York Giants talk. Our number is 201-939-4513. Now, before we do anything else, the Giants have a Monday night game against the Indianapolis Colts. Roman, we heard from Coach Tom Coughlin just before the Giants hit the practice field a few minutes ago. He's got a couple of injuries to deal with. Rashad Jennings and Colin Jenkins will not practice. Dominic Rogers-Cromartie is limited. Steve Weatherford is going to do some things. He's kind of on a limited schedule now anyway because of that sore ankle. And Jeff Schwartz will practice for the first time since he dislocated his toe at the end of the preseason.
Yeah, and I think there are no surprises, Paul, on this injury report. Obviously, you know, Colin Jenkins, you know, that's going to be a few weeks. You know, talking about that defensive tackle position, there are some guys in that rotation I think that could do well. Mike Patterson. Obviously, he's the first obvious choice to start. He's been a starter in the league, been a productive guy for a long time. Bromley, the rookie, you're going to probably get to see him dress and contribute. He's probably more of a pass rusher from the interior than a guy who just fills up those A-gaps and takes blockers. He's not as big as Jenkins, but he's definitely more athletic in terms of running and shooting gaps.
A lot of people talk about him in the Jay Alfred mode.
Yeah, and that's the way I see him, too. I mean, he's a guy, I mean, you talk about in sub-packages where they put Robert Ayers in there, that three technique. I think Bromley is a guy that could eventually be that guy that comes in and he can be a pure three technique defensive tackle that's lined up on the outside shade of the guard. I don't see him playing a shade, a nose, or an A-gap type of player. He just doesn't have the bulk to take up those. But not that he can't do that, but again, Bromley and Mike Patterson would be the guys I think would be the natural fit. And then obviously Rashad Jennings, this would be week four from that MCL. And the fact that he's been gone this much means it was a third degree MCL, which means probably a month. You know, I think the swelling's decreased. I mean, he's not limping as much when you see him walk around the building. But now the football portion has to really step up for Rashad Jennings to be, you know, closer to actually playing. So cutting, running. That deceleration when you run, take a run and slow it down and accelerate out of the hole. He's got to be able to do those type of things, Paul, so that he can get back to running the football. And again, DRC, I mean, he's every week on this thing now. He's going to be limited Wednesday, then Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But I think in a good way, you're playing a day and a half later than you would otherwise if this was a Sunday 1 o'clock game. So for some of these injuries, you know, 24 hours, I think for DRC would make a difference. And Steve Weatherford. Obviously, I think it's just a precautionary method with that ankle, which, I mean, he's probably 5 weeks out now from that injury. So I think he's probably as close to 100% he's going to get.
Sure.
You don't want to see him making game-saving tackles for touchdowns. Hopefully, you got 10 other guys that can do that, so you don't have to test the ankle that much.
For his sake.
Yeah, exactly. So a short injury list, but I think no surprises, if you will.
Now, the Giants coming off of a bye week, this is their first real practice since the bye, Roman. They were here on Monday. They went over some film, or should I say Wednesday. They went over some film on Monday. They went over some film and a walkthrough on Wednesday. This is their first real practice, so to speak, to prep for the Colts. What is that like for a professional football player coming off of the bye as he tries to reacclimate himself after having a few days off? And quite frankly, I know these guys needed it, but they got to get in rhythm quickly.
Well, you're right. And I think they did need the days off. They did need that time to look at, you know, sort of that self-scout the teams do during the bye week.
Yeah.
You know, look at all the things you did well, build on those things, and the things you didn't do as well, try to fix it. One thing in these first seven games, and it's led to, you know, what Eli Manning's playing thus far, 14 touchdowns, only four interceptions. There haven't been a lot of mental mistakes, definitely not offensively, at least. So when you don't see a lot of mental mistakes, that means guys do have a good grasp of what's going on. And Tom Coughlin alluded to this, you know, about playing over the X's and O's in this press conference that just happened recently. Means now you're comfortable, you know what to do. Now go out there and dominate. Go out there and prove that you want to be considered one of the better teams in the league. Go out there and say you can take a swing at the Eagles or the Cowboys in this division or some of the other teams, you know, your Detroits or whomever, Arizona, and because it's going to be a dogfight, Paul. At 3-4 with 9 games left, this team is going to have to find a way to separate themselves from the league and really win. I hate to say win out, but you've got to win 7 or 8 out of these next 9 games to even give yourself a chance. And you may it may still come down to a tiebreaker with a Detroit or an Arizona if they don't win the division because they beat you. So it's an uphill battle, but in terms of you know putting on a good product on the field on Sundays or Monday night, if you will, this week, this team has got to be mentally rested from the bye week, and they've got to be mentally focused to really attack the second half of the season and say, we're not going to give up any more sacks. We're not going to blow any coverages. We're not going to get beat deep. We're not going to give up big plays. We will create big plays offensively. And you look at the numbers real quickly, Paul, and I'll shut up after that. You know, the Giants are really overall, offensively, defensively, I'd say in the bottom middle of really every category. That's you know, 22nd in the league here, 25th here, 28th. That means they're about 10 teams worse than you in overall categories defensively and offensively. Eli Manning hasn't thrown for a lot of yards thus far, but he's minimized his mistakes. With the comfortability of this offensive system, you want to see the explosion. You want to see the deeper passes, the bigger plays. That's what you should – you want to see more sacks, more turnovers, no matter how tough this schedule is, because it's really a one-game-at-a-time season from here on out.
All right. Let me say this.
And I said a lot, but that was kind of like my monologue.
There were two things I want to nibble off of.
Sure.
First things first, this is a murderer's row schedule, as it was discussed the other day with Jerry Reese.
100%.
With the Colts, the Seahawks, the 49ers, and the Cowboys. Now, if you're to believe the Giants need to go at least 2-2 through these four games, if you're still thinking about the division, well, then it doesn't matter which two you win. But if you're not thinking about the division and you're thinking wild card, then the NFC games are the more important games to win, and then losing to the Colts would be less painful. But you can't think that way.
No.
You have to think that because the Eagles and the Cowboys are now only 2 games in front after losing last weekend, you have to still think that the division might still be in play. So that's why you can't really go out there thinking that you can lose to the Colts.
And it's not impossible that you know, Dallas loses a second time in the division. Hopefully, the second time they play the Giants play the Cowboys.
But they may lose to Arizona this weekend, and
yeah.
Philly's got Houston.
Yeah, exactly. So, things on the other side, outside of this building or the Giants organization, that's always going to play itself out. But what you can always control is what you can control, and that's getting out there and finding a way to win every week and letting the chips fall where they lie. I mean, stranger things have happened in the NFL. I mean, look at last year, San Diego Chargers, a wild card team, you know, went to the divisional round, went 2 rounds in the playoffs, and that was a good year for them. And this year they're playing well. So it's really about confidence. And this team needs to really restore their confidence and ability to go out there and just win the games that they're supposed to win and go out there and just take some of those victories from games where they really need to play well in all three phases and put themselves in the position of fourth quarter to win. I mean, that's how things are going to play out. And Paul, we talked about this just now in the press conference show. It's assumed the Colts aren't going to play as bad as they did last week. So they're going to play better.
Don't think so.
Yeah, they're going to play better. But the Giants, you've got to prepare for the best Colts team of all the good things the Colts do. And bottom line, it can't be about the other team. It's got to be about what this team does well, what they've done well to this point, and what they need to continue to build on going forward. That's offensive, defensive, and definitely turnovers.
I ask you one question before we get to the calls. And, Stas, you'll be first up on the show. But the Colts have 3 losses this year, 5-3.
Right.
And each of the 3 losses, they allowed a minimum of 30 points. So clearly you have to outscore them to win. You're not going to get involved in a 17-13 game. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. So I guess my question to you is, Roman, if you assume you've got to score 30, are the Giants good enough to score 30 on this team?
Well, they were good enough for 3 weeks to score 30. You know, I think 2 of those being home games. So they were good enough to score 30 for a 3-week stretch. And this Colts team, with Chuck, they put a lot of pressure. You know, I think Greg Minuski's offensive defensive coordinator, Chuck Pagano, they love to put pressure. You know, they played without their best pass rushers, best pass rusher, number 98.
Mathis.
Mathis. So they try to create pressure sending a fifth or sixth player. If you could keep it solid up front and block that pressure, block that fifth or that sixth guy, there are some yards to be had downfield. This team is definitely capable at home with the crowd noise, with Michael Strahan being in the crowd, with all that Giants, you know, ambiance, if you will. This team is very capable of scoring 30 points against the Colts at home and playing a game defensively where you're making them throw the ball in the second half to win. And that's when you can get – I mean, the Colts don't have the greatest offensive line in football now. But, again, that's pressure defensively on DeMondre Moore. I mean, some of these guys are going to have to – get in that rotation and have to get to the quarterback.
Well, just remember this. When the Giants had their three-game winning streak earlier this year and right. they scored those points, Rashad Jennings was in the lineup and so was Victor Cruz.
Exactly.
So now, it is a little different.
It's a little different, but in terms of the attitude, in terms of you know playing together as a team, football is still a team sport. And there have been teams throughout history that have lost their starting receiver, starting running back, and guys just picked up the slack. And that was the a big thing that I said before the bye week. Just guys have to pick up the slack. You've got to run the routes to perfection. You've got to make explosive plays. You know, in times of crises, Paul, other leaders have to emerge. Because number 80's not in huddle anymore. He hasn't been now in 2 weeks. So we can't even have the Cruz discussion anymore.
Odell Beckham
forward.
And Ruben Randle, it's
They've
time.
Got to do it.
It's time.
And a lot of people, including myself, have wanted Ruben Randle to really soar and explode and mature. And play consistently good football for about a 4 or 5 week span. Not spots, but a 4 or 5 week span.
Got to happen now.
It has to start Monday night.
Okay, let's go to the phone calls. And we have Stas from Washington. You're first on the show. Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing today?
Hi.
Hey, so three quick things. One, I think the Giants have a very, very, this is looking ahead, obviously, a very good chance of beating the Seahawks, even though it's going to be out here. I got to take the game my way.
Don't go there.
Talk about the Colts.
Point number two.
If the Giants play the Colts the way they've been playing on D, they're going to scorch us. If Perryfield keeps this cushion, you can eat up the middle of my field because Andrew Luck has I've never seen a guy be able to throw more 1 yard touchdown passes and in a bunch of it in a scrimmage or the ball fumbles, it magically falls in his hands and he runs it in. That guy, you got to be able to keep him on his heels. If you look at how many times this guy got hit last game, that's what we have to do. We got to sell out and bring the blitz and make him work for everything because there's no other way. That team got too much talent. I mean, you got Bradshaw's playing like a little beast right now. You got too much talent. Like, if we don't go at them, I'm scared if we don't go at them. If we play this soft cushion stuff that we've been doing, there's not one big name currently on the active roster of the Redskins. Not one big name currently on the active roster that isn't hurt, that played against Dallas, and their D coordinator said, hey, you know what? They still got to earn it. We're going to make them respect us. And Look at how they beat the Dallas Cowboys.
Point number
That's
three.
That's how we got to go in.
Go to your third point.
That's it. That was all
That's
three.
It. You're done. Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thank
guys.
You. I want to mention a couple of things about Luck. First of all, he's only been sacked 13 times this year, which obviously is a good number if you're the Colts. Right. You know, you'll like it to be as low as it can be, but that's not bad.
Considering the Giants, Eli Manning got sacked 8 times in one game.
Yeah, and they do throw it a lot. Right. Okay, they throw it 61% of the time, so that's not a terrible number.
Right.
The other thing, though, that I found when I was going through the Giants locker room the other day, the thing that they told me about Luck, and it's not just physically that he can make all the throws, Roman, it's that he spreads the ball around so, so well. If you have a seam or a mistaken coverage, he's going to be the guy who finds it and takes advantage of it. And let me give you these numbers now. He's got 8 receivers this year, or not just receivers, but 8 players, because some of these guys are running backs, who have caught a minimum of 15 passes this year. That leads the NFL.
Right.
All 8 of those guys have caught at least one touchdown as well. So as Jameel McClain said to me the other day, you all have to defend the entire field all the time because if anybody is off point, he'll find it.
Right.
That's right. The problem.
And in terms of ball distribution, I mean, I go back to the years, you know, when I blocked for Drew Brees in San Diego and you know, even in New Orleans, and it's that same approach where everybody's open. There's no look the receiver, brawl the safety, and then go backside. I mean, everyone's catching on to that now. A lot of quarterbacks are doing now, but – But
now everybody's in play for luck on every snap.
And it's by design. I mean, we can't forget to mention, you know, he's got his offensive coordinator, Pep Hamilton, from college, who coaches at the Colts now. So this organization has really put Andrew Luck in a position to succeed. He had the highest, I think, Wunderlich or whatever come out of college. He's a really, really smart player. So he will dump a ball off to Bradshaw when everything's open downfield, and here comes number 44 with a little choice route running 15 yards downfield. And because he is a move-the-chains quarterback, and that's why this gentleman, Stas from Washington, said that all the things that he does in the red zone, he gets the team down to a position to score almost every series. So Andrew Luck, in terms of just being a smart quarterback, he's one of the smarter young quarterbacks I've seen in at least a decade.
It's not fair that they should have Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck back-to-back.
Well,
it's just
funny.
Not fair.
I spoke to Brian Ganey, who was an assistant general manager for the Miami Dolphins, played for the Giants, was on practice squad with me for a couple of years when I was here. He's now assistant scout. He's an assistant pro personnel guy, I think, at Houston Texans. I saw him in a press box a lot during preseason. He said that, look, we go 2-14, you get Jadeveon Clowney. They go 2-14 2 years ago, they get Andrew Luck. I mean, it's not an exact science, and there won't be another Andrew Luck for probably five more years.
Oh, boy.
But again, you know, congratulations to the Colts on what they've been able to do. But again, there are some chinks in his game. But again, you've got to get to him. You've got to wrap him. You've got to bring him down. You've got to make him uncomfortable in the pocket. That's the only way to disrupt Andrew Luck's timing.
Wouldn't be bad to keep the ball out of his hands either.
Hey, I mean, Dallas has been doing it for a while. So,
Big Ed from Maryland, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, Big Paulie, Big Roman, Big Paulie, Big Roman. What's up, fellas? How you doing this afternoon?
Good morning. Nice to talk to you.
You must have had your coffee today, huh?
Yeah, I had my coffee. Yes, I did. Yeah, you know it. All right, fellas, look. We got a tough one. We got to win 7 out of 9. I know everybody been talking about it for a little bit here. I'm just going to simply address it. We got to win 7 out of 9, period. We got to beat Dallas, Philly, and the Redskins. Those are our key victories. We can drop Seahawks and beat the 49ers or beat the Seahawks and lose the 49ers. It really kind of doesn't matter. Just one of the two, we got to win. The key to us all, though, is play to win the game. If y'all going to talk to them today, let them know, Big ASA, play to win the game. Don't play for your ego. Play to win the game. If you play to win the game, you're going to be in every game that you play. If you've shown it even in the losses. It was a hurtful loss with the Arizona loss because you should have really won that game. But we can't take it back.
You know what, Ed?
Here's
the one thing I know. Tom Coughlin has delivered the proper message to these guys. Trust me when I tell you that. In fact, the other day when they came back off of the bye, he gave them one verbal deal at the end of that walkthrough. I mean, he was loud. He was expressive. He was intense. Tom Coughlin has let these guys know exactly where they stand and what they have to do. This isn't about knowing what has to get done. This is about going out and doing it. Got to execute now. That's all there is to it. They got to execute. They know the mess that they're in. Trust me when I tell you that. Look, they were 0-6 last year. They know the mess that they're in.
Right. And I think
his job's on the line. You know what I'm saying? And that's the hurtful part because he's a great coach. He has the plan. They just have to execute the plan.
Yeah, thank you, Big Ed. You know, your job's on the line every week in the NFL. And I think you take on that assumption, and that's the criticism, and that's the reality that comes with the job. I played left tackle for 12 years in the league. I mean, every week you got to be on point. Some days are better than others, but there's a lot of people, Paul, I think that feel like from the second half of the 2012 season for the next, like, year and a half, I mean, there's been an imbalance in that locker room in terms of execution, going out there with the confidence to do it on Sundays. What happened last year, start off 0-6, This team needs confidence, and I think if you beat the Colts on Monday night and you come back and you find a way to win the next week, or you beat Dallas the second time or whatever, that gives a team confidence that anything they call is going to work, that anything an offense shows up is going to be stopped. And that's when, you know, and it's good for a fan to call and say, oh, you got to win 7 out of 9, and it's okay to look at it that way from a fan's perspective, but there's too much work, Paul, to be that put in the week. that you say, well, we can win this. No, you've got to try to win every week because you don't know what Dallas and Philly and Washington's going to do. RG3's coming back next week. So you got to assume that the Redskins are going to maybe start chinking off some victories from some of these other teams. They still have to play Detroit, Arizona, just like the Giants did in some of these other games. So, but I think you just have to take care of your business, Paul. And obviously, these are professional athletes. Tom Coughlin said the message. Total commitment, no distractions, effort, playing above the X's and O's.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's going to take. And that's what every man has to believe in that room.
I'm going to try to make it simple for you. And, Roman, I don't know if you ever thought about this when you either went into a game or looked at the film afterwards, but I would always grade the team's game after the game was played. I would say they brought their A game today, or they brought their B game today, or they brought their C game today. If you're the Giants, you're not good enough most weeks to bring your B or C game and come out with a win. If you're the Giants right now, because of some of the holes and some of the inconsistencies that you have, and quite honestly, some thin spots in terms of talent, you're going to have to bring your A game most weeks if you're going to win. They need their A game against these next four opponents if they're going to win any of them.
And, Paul, let's be honest. I mean, in today's – there's so much parity in the NFL. I mean, Seahawks dropped two in a row, and they're supposed to dominate everyone. I mean – with the exception of the Denver Broncos that are just playing lights out every week, everyone's got to bring their A game every week because anyone can get beaten. And if you have any discrepancies, whether it's special teams or third down or not protecting the blitz, it will be exposed in the first 10 plays of a game or in a quarter and a half. No one's just rolling through the league anymore, Paul. And that's why it's so important to just focus and take care of the little things. And that's every single man in that locker room from – James Brewer to Eli, I mean, everybody. If you're starter, non-starter, guys are fighting to get back on the field, Schwartz, everyone's got to do what they can to win. And it's got to be a belief system and a culture of discipline that has to exist for this team to start to put themselves at the top of the league again. And if that doesn't happen, you know, it'll be a 7-9, 8-8, 9-7, if you're lucky, type of year.
Yeah, and that's something they want to avoid. Listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Now hurry and get a free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now and enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter Blue for a free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Paul Dottino and Roman Oben with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's go back to the phone calls. We have Bren from Ireland on the phone. Hello.
Hey, Paulie. How you doing?
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you guys, Roman. It's an honor to be able to talk to you.
Thank you.
I have a point and a question, if I may, and then I'll listen off air to your response.
Sure.
Okay. So somebody needs to take one for the team. They need to spend the week really annoying and pissing off John Jerry. You know, it's not a task I'd want to do, but somebody has to make that man angry enough to kill come game day, because a man of that size and that power should be flinging people around the offensive line. Now, and then my question is, failing to motivate John Jerry, I know Paul is a fan of moving Pew inside. Would it be possible, because I don't think Schwartz has the foot speed to play right tackle, would it be possible to move Wonderboy Richburg over to right tackle? And I'll take your answer off air. Thank you, guys.
Well, thanks so much, Brent, for the call. I'm going to let Roman answer the second part of that question. As far as John Jerry, he is a big, huge, mammoth of a man who's done a pretty good job in pass protection this year, but his entire career, even when he was with the Dolphins, was not, and I repeat this, was not a good run blocker. He does not play to his size at all. He plays like a finesse offensive lineman when he should be able to mow people down.
Yeah, and I told you this, Paul, that I played with guards like Ron Stone when I was here, and, you know, Chris Dielman in San Diego, and you know, some guys that I played with, I mean, Pro Bowl guys that, I mean, the definition of a right guard, a butt kicker, is a guy that you know on third down, third and one, or when you line up a guy one-on-one, that guy is eliminated. And listen, whether you consider to be John Jerry to be a certain type of player or not, and I've even made the allusion to the 7-footer who takes 20-foot jump shots versus a guy who pounds the paint. And I think John Jerry's a big guy who equivalent to a guy who takes jump shots.
Yeah.
And that's fine, and that's worked. He's a good zone blocker. I mean, he's good on his good footwork. In terms of this offensive line, I don't think Justin Pugh is a guard at all. I think Pugh should stay at tackle. And I don't think Richburg is a tackle. I think he's a center at the very most. He's playing some guard, obviously.
He'll be a long-term center on
this
team.
Yeah, he'll be a long-term center for 100%. But this offensive line, some of the woes, I mean, we saw the Eagles game and we saw the 8 sacks, and Dallas was a little better. It really starts with an attitude of I'm going to move my guy from point A to point B against his will, repetitively over time, with a monotonous consistency, and in the fourth quarter, I impose my will on my opponent. I mean, that's the offensive lineman's creed. I know you're Catholic, right? The Apostles' Creed. There's an offensive lineman's creed that you live by, but it's got to be all five guys collectively doing it at the same time.
And, how about hit or be hit?
Yeah, whatever you want to call it. But again, move your guy from point A to point B against his will in the fourth quarter. You impose your will on your opponents, and you've got to do it with a monotonous consistency. It starts the meeting rooms, walkthroughs, practice. There's an attitude you have to be a great offensive line, and I'm not going to – I don't pick on John Jerry by any means. I mean, it's hard enough to be an NFL football player. This guy's started for a few games over the length of his career. I mean, he's a solid athlete. But when you're 6'5", 340 pounds, you're expected to just line up and just bully people.
It'd be great if he had Chris Snee's demeanor because Snee played like a junkyard dog with power. And even though he wasn't the biggest guard in the league, he played like one.
You know, and the irony, you said that, Paul, typically the guys that are around that 310, 315 pounds, I mean, those guys are the scrappers in football. The guys at 340, they're so big, they just sit on people and they lean and they –
Right.
So it's funny. And I was considered an undersized guy.
You were.
Tackle, 305, 310, 6'4".
It's true.
I mean, my 6'7 wingspan saved me enough to play tackle. But I always said, man, if I was 340, it would be so much easier. But then maybe I'd be a different type of player. What you want is the guys that are big. You want the big guys that play like scrappers. And those guys are really rare in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree. Yes, I do want Pugh. I disagree with Roman on this. I do want Pugh to be a guard at some point. But right now they need him at right tackle because he's the only guy who can do a competent job out there. I know he's had trouble. I get that. I do think, though, that while a competent right tackle, I think he could be a Pro Bowl guard. We can talk about that another time.
Yeah, I'd say if he could be a guard, it'd be a left guard. And this would have to be a zone type of
offense. It would
be
more of a zone blocking scheme. That's true. Okay. Paul from the Bronx, you're next on the show. Hello.
Yeah. Good afternoon, guys. How you guys doing?
Hi.
I've been trying to call in for a while, but I've been at work, so I couldn't really, talk to you guys. But I have a couple of nuggets. I'm not going to take too long. One being that in the offset of the season, when everything got started, I looked at the team as a whole, bringing in Ben McAdoo, the free agent signings and then the draft class, and it was all good and stuff like that. But I looked at it and I said, we have a chance to go to – first off, we're going to be a better team than the 0-6 start getting that first win against Minnesota. We're going to be better than that team.
Okay.
But as far as to say, going to the playoffs and making a stretch, I didn't really see that. I've always said 8-8, 9-7, and I've always wanted to tell you guys this, but – I couldn't because obviously I was going to win. I see that happening. I see us losing this tough stretch as much as it hurts me to say, but I could see us losing to Indy, Seattle, and, the whole fourth. But we'll beat the Cowboys and then on win out and maybe go 9-7 and still miss the playoffs because there's other teams that have a chance of making it to the wild card spot as much as we do. But getting past that, as much as it pains me to say, I'm looking towards next season because as far as continuity goes, every 4 years, Eli takes us to the Super Bowl, you know what I'm saying? I always look at that, I hang my hat on that, and we've always been there, and it's around that time. And we've just gotten into a new offense, and the one thing that sticks out to me, too, is Eli has been taking care of the ball, even though he doesn't have spectacular numbers, but he is having a good season. He has 1,500 yards. You know, he has 14 touchdowns and I think only 5 picks, you know what I'm saying? He's taking care of the ball. Around this time, he'd have 18 picks by now.
Look, thanks, Paul. And I think it's been well documented that Eli Manning is playing significantly better than he's had the last two seasons in terms of minimizing mistakes. Now, offensively, the Giants are only passing about 219 yards a game. So you're not seeing this dynamic, you know, balls down the field and things like that. But in terms of minimizing mistakes, I commend Eli Manning for how he's playing this season. Learning a new system, something that he was doing differently for 10 seasons prior to this year. But again, and I know fans are going to call in and start saying, okay, you got to win this game and look on next year. And if you look at, you know, every fifth year, 07 to 11, so maybe next year will be the Super Bowl year. I think there's too much work that goes into just a week's preparation, a season's preparation, an off season. You can't go to next year already. I mean, I think that sounds good conceptually, and fans like to stay in that dreamy stage about the 07 season, 11 season. Now Maybe 15 will be up next naturally, but
it's something to talk about.
Again,
doesn't mean much though.
No, but I think something that lurks in this building, in this organization, that this team has to remove. Has to get out of this 7-9 and 9-7 doghouse because you end up going home in the offseason saying, "Oh, we didn't get killed." You know, there's a few games we could have won. You know, I mean, look, if you go 4-12, you say, "Man, there's three games that would have put us 7-9." If you go 7-9, out of these three games would have made us 10-6. If you go 10-6, these two or three games would have put us. So let's not have any regrets. Put everything on the table, all chips on deck, all in. You've heard all the cliches. Giants pride, right? Tap it on the wall, Paul. Giants pride. Giants pride, and let's make it a one-game season for 9 weeks in a row and see where you end up in January.
Bad news. They already threw away the Cardinals game.
Yes.
They're going to regret that one
for
the rest of the season.
Especially if this team goes, let's say, just finds a way to get to 10-6. This team
can find
themselves.
Imagine if they go 10-6 and don't make it because of a wild card tiebreaker.
You mentioned Arizona. That happened to them last season. And this, I think it was 2010, this team went 10-6 and didn't go to the playoffs.
I mean, but it can happen.
I think that the biggest issue is because people just – there's a magic with Eli Manning in the playoffs, and I actually really believe that. I didn't want to believe it, but I really believe it. If this team gets in the playoffs when it's really even and they're playing their best football at the end of the season,
they got a chance.
Anything can happen.
Sure.
But you just have to get out of this drudgery of being hot, scoring 30 points in a row for 3 weeks – and then getting destroyed on the road in your division, then you're hot. I mean, there's got to be just a better, consistent performance across the board.
I want to get some business out of the way. We didn't tell you, I think, during this program. We did during the MSG show that yesterday John Beeson was officially put on injured reserve
right. Because
of the toe surgery. And cornerback Mike Harris, former Florida State player, was signed off the Lions practice squad. He is active and on the Giants 53. Now, he's like 5'10", 185 pounds or so. He has played some slot. He's played some outside. I have been told he's very good in special teams in terms of kickoff coverage and punt coverage, which is also probably one of the reasons they brought him in, because Tom Coughlin is very worried about field position. He notices that in the Giants' losses and then the Giants' wins, there is a large disparity in field position. So he wants to improve that. Harris may as much be his special teams acquisition as he is helping out with some veteran experience in the secondary. Now, also, we are told by Tom Rock's Twitter that Jeff Schwartz was in full pads with the rest of the team today. Again, his first practice back after suffering the dislocated toe at the end of preseason. We've been told that Rashad Jennings is pulling a plow and showing or off on the field adjacent to practice on his own. DRC participating in practice, and Cullen Jenkins not. So that coming from the reporters who are outside watching as we were in here in the studio talking to you folks, that gives you a little bit of an indication as to what's going on today. Dre from Atlanta, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Paulie, hey, Roman, how y'all doing?
Hi.
How you doing, Dre?
Hi. Before I even start, one question. What kind of defense does Indianapolis run? Is it a 3-4 or 4-3?
Yeah.
Yeah, they run a 3-4. It's a 3-4 hybrid. Greg Minuski, actually, he was linebacker's coach for when I was in San Diego for 4 years, and I'm familiar with Chuck Pagano, who was a defense coordinator in Cleveland. with Butch Davis, you know, one of my years there. So it's 3-4 hybrid, which means that on the strong side, you're always going to reduce that defensive tackle. You're going to move him inside. And right. So it ends up being like a 4-3, but they don't have the pass rushers in Mathis that they had. So they have to find creative ways to really always send a fifth and sometimes a sixth person to really get you out of that. They want to force you into second and longs, third and longs, especially when you get inside the red zone. They want to force you out of field goal. So that's what you can expect defensively from the Indianapolis Colts.
They do have 21 sacks this year, which is not a bad number. And no. Bjorn Warner, remember he was a rookie last season.
Yeah,
it was very quiet.
Yeah.
He right now has 4 sacks to lead the way.
Right.
Okay. See, I'll say all that to say, this game here is all about the line. The offensive line and the
usually
defensive
is,
line.
To be honest.
Yeah. Most games are.
Right. Well, really. But actually, especially with the defensive line, you talked earlier in the broadcast about, you know, Bromley being more of a pass rusher. Well, now you have a pass-happy quarterback that passes the ball 60% of the time. And especially with some of the injuries we have in the secondary, what saves your secondary? The push up front. And this is the opportunity for our offensive line to get it together, get our head together, and go back to old Giant Faithful and rush the passer. If we can rush him with 4 and get some penetration, that would be wonderful. You know, the NASCAR package works, especially with the speed. If we could beat the offensive lineman to the spots and actually put some pressure on Luck, but still contain him so he doesn't gash us by running, you know, it might be a different game.
All right, hold on just a second, Dre. There's 2 things you got to remember about that, okay? Even if you get a good pass rush, you can get beat by the check down because Ahmad Bradshaw has caught more than 30 passes this year. They're utilizing him more as a receiver than the Giants ever did. So you could get burned on that. That's one thing you got to be concerned with. The other thing is the Giants, over the course of the last several weeks, have had a propensity to give up big runs on run blitzes. Okay? So that's another thing you got to be concerned with, because if you're sending 5 or 6 and now they break that crease, you get a guy like Richardson or Bradshaw to the second level, it's a big play.
Yeah,
it's a problem.
And they both run extremely hard. I think an equalizer in this game, Paul, is going to be what Mike Patterson does against these 2 rookies at the Indianapolis. They have a starting center, I think Harrison and
Mohort,
starting left guard.
Mohort,
2 rookies. Mike Patterson, because he's only about 6'2", he really does a good job of really getting under these offensive linemen's pads, and I love that he uses his leverage and his size. I mean,
he's a fire hydrant.
Yeah, I mean, he's not the first guy you want getting off the bus in terms of big physical stature. You know, we had Chris Canty, had these bigger guys, but in terms of his effectiveness, I've seen him really collapse the pocket. He's really getting under these guys, lifting guys back, and you've got to get to Andrew Luck on first, second down when you're doing play action passes. Because when it's third and seven, third and 10, and they know what's coming. They know what blitz is coming.
Now he's in control.
Yeah, and he's in control. You've got to get to these guys on the unforeseen passing downs where it's a play action pass. He's out now, somebody's in his face. So that's what Mike Patterson, I think, is going to bring to the table on Monday night.
Dre, is that all?
I look forward to that. Also, on the offensive line, I believe Andre Williams will have a strong running game. I think the bye is what we needed, you know, pretty much a vacation just to put the first season behind us. We're back to 0-0. We got 9 more games to play. This is where the season starts. This is where we put the pedal to the metal and get it together. We're not a bad team. If we eliminate the mental mistakes on offense, on offensive line, we'll be great, you know. Talent-wise, you know, even though we're in our third and fourth string in certain positions, we are still a good team because with the heart and the mentality and giant pride, there should be no reason why anybody is mentally stronger than us. We just have to put that in physicality. But that's it. You guys have a good day.
All right, Dre, thanks for the call. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. You know, folks, let me just bring you back a second to the Cowboys game because in my mind, the game plan going into that game is similar to the one you need to run against the Colts. And
right.
Why do I say that? Because, in truth, the Colts not only have an explosive offense and can make big plays and put up, you know, 30 to 40 points whenever they want to. In addition to that, they control the clock with that offense. And they keep the weakest part of their team, which is their defense, off the field. That's why when you look at the numbers and you see that the Colts lead the NFL in time of possession at nearly 35 minutes a game, it means the defense is only on the field for 25 minutes a game. Similar time of possession numbers to the Cowboys.
Exactly.
And remember we told you the Cowboys ranked 16th in the NFL in total defense? The Colts are 15th in the NFL in total defense. It's got to be the same philosophy going in. You got to be able to physically control the tempo of the game. The power running game's got to be going. You got to make big plays when you can, but you got to be disciplined. You can't be committing stupid penalties that take you out of scoring position. You can't fumble the ball if you're Larry Donnell in your own territory.
Right.
You need to play clean football and keep the same philosophy that would have beaten Dallas against the Colts, because their best defense right now is their offense.
Yeah, and again, but apart from Dallas, different from Dallas, this team is number one in the league in total passing yards, number one in the league in touchdowns, tied at 20.
Yeah, they get more passing yards than Dallas
and
did. They were more
per
running
game. I mean, they're 31.5 points a game. So, I mean, they're going to throw the football. They're not going to run the ball behind Richardson and Bradshaw and milk the clock
minimize. But they will run it some.
Yeah, no, they will run it, but they're going to air it out. You're going to see some deep balls, and Andrew Luck has full reign. This is his offense. He's got full reign to really do whatever he wants and find the open receiver, no matter who it is. So there is no first, second progression. It's the route, and what the defense gives you, that determines who's open. That determines who gets the ball. So I think you said Jameel McClain was right. Everybody's on their toes this week. There's not – even if you're the Jaquan Williams and you're in charge of that check down with Richardson or Bradshaw, that check down could be a 15-yard pass if you don't cover him.
Remember what I told you guys yesterday about how the Giants got caught with Fenner man-to-man against Dez Bryant in the Dallas game, and it cost them what I thought was the biggest play of the night? Guess what? If you get caught in a mismatch on Monday night, Luck will find it just like Romo did,
right,
and he will make a game-changing play. Okay? So the Giants cannot afford any lapses of that nature. I did want to give one other number here, Roman, in looking at this. When you talk about some of the stats, Reggie Wayne, who only has one touchdown catch this year, is still a very important part of this offense, despite the fact that his numbers aren't what they usually are. Mm-hmm. Now, we've been told that he's very iffy for the game. If he is not there, it does hurt them. Now, I know they scored 34 points against the Steelers last week, but in truth, Hakeem Nicks, with only 18 catches, averaging 9.3 yards a catch and 2 touchdowns, from what I've seen on the film, he's having trouble getting separation. It's clear he's not the same player he was a few years ago with the Giants. He's more like last year's player, when he had a lot of trouble finding free space and free room. So it is a big loss for the Colts if Reggie Wayne cannot come back off his elbow injury and play. And that's iffy from what I understand right now. So that's something you want to watch. The other thing you want to watch is that on defense, Vontae Davis, who is a top-flight corner,
right,
and a guy who you can put on an island, has a sore knee. And from what I understand, he's also very iffy for the game. So those are two significant injuries, one on each side of the ball, that the Giants have to be aware of, because they need to take advantage of them if those guys aren't in there.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that at all. But again, I think at this point of the season, even though coming off the bye week, and the Colts obviously have a bye week after this Monday night game, so they're going to want to finish on a high note. Everyone has injuries or a guy or two here or there that they sorely miss. Obviously, the Giants miss Cruz. He's out for the year. Beason's out for the year. You've got Schwartz trying to come back. Jennings trying to come back.
Well,
so some of those things are always kind of equal each other out in terms of, you know, who plays or who doesn't. I mean, Reggie Wayne is not the guy that he was for a better part of a decade. I mean, he's more of a slot guy, a possession receiver at this point.
No doubt.
I don't think he stretches the field. T.Y. Hilton, we talked about this earlier. He doesn't have the touchdowns, but he's from 20 to 20. He makes explosive plays that gets this Colts offense in a position to get in the red zone. And they throw the ball a lot in the red zone. And that's why you talk about these 22 touchdowns. They throw the ball a lot inside that 10-yard line. And it's almost a way to get Andrew Luck more passing touchdowns, because they don't get to the red zone. They don't get to close to that high red zone, that inside the 10, inside the 5. They throw the ball a lot in those downs.
All right, it's 201-939-4513. Our phone lines are open. Let me give you another number here, Roman, as I studied the Colts stats and figures. And to me, one of the things that I saw and you look at it, the special teams numbers, and we talked about this the other day because field position has been a very strong point of emphasis for Coach Tom Coughlin. Look at this now. Kickoff returns. Now, you can neutralize this by putting it out of the end zone,
right,
obviously. But they're fifth in the league in kickoff returns at 26 yards a return. So you score, and if you don't get the good coverage or you don't get that ball out of the end zone, they're going to bring that ball out probably past the 30.
Right.
Okay? And that's not good because now you're putting your defense in a hole already.
You just got to line drive those balls out of the back
get
of the
end
zone.
Josh Brown needs to be on point and needs to boom those balls through, right, which he's done for the most part. He's done a good job for this team. But here's the other thing I want to talk about. Kickoff return average against the Colts, 21.4, which is very low. In fact, that is 10th best in the league. 4.5 yards per punt return by opponents, which is the second best in the league. The Colts are not going to give you anything. You have to earn it. And that's the point I want to make here, because they're just not going to help you. You need to win the time of possession, and you need to win the battle of field position to beat the Indianapolis Colts, because you're not going to get what happened last week when Roethlisberger threw for 522 and 6 touchdowns. That was an aberration. It will not happen again. You've got to win those other two categories, and they make it hard for you to do it.
Yeah, and I said this. I made this joke on the press conference show that, if this were gymnastics, you just have to throw out that high score. And just
exactly,
you cannot look at that Pittsburgh Steelers game as a marker of where this football team is. I mean, they overall they're a smart, tough, physical team on both sides of the ball, and it really shows what they do on special teams, because they don't allow big returns. They play very smart. Obviously, being in the dome helps in terms of some of those things in the kicking area, but.
Well, the longest return they've allowed this year is 11 yards.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes, 11 yards.
Yeah, 11 yards and a punt. And that's
– on a punt return.
No one's gotten more than 10 yards, basically, on a punt return on them. So most of their returns have been fair catches.
And have you seen the Giants return punts?
Yeah, I've seen a few of those myself.
That doesn't work out so well for them, does it? 201-939-4513. Let's go to Twitter, because I do know that we have some Twitter comments. You guys like to sometimes hit us up online. A Sunny Boy – says, Williams is due to break out. Do you think this can be his breakout game? I guess he's talking about Andre Williams,
right,
who to this point, Roman, he's only averaging a little over 3 yards a carry, which is disappointing since he had such a terrific preseason. But experience is the thing here. And we talked about this on yesterday's show, and I want to just leave it to you for a second to comment, because to me, right now, he's suffering from that inexperience. He's got all the tools. He's got the work ethic. He's got the heart, the drive, the desire, the intelligence. He's got everything you need to be a star back in this league. But right now, he doesn't have the patience to hit the right hole. He doesn't attack the hole necessarily when he should, because the timing of holes, whether it's the size of the holes or how quickly they close, it's different at Boston College than it is in the NFL. And he's got to also read his blockers better.
Yeah, and you go back to preseason, he was doing well against
lesser guys,
which is fine, but that's good for his confidence in terms of running in the NFL. But the offensive line has got to get him through the line of scrimmage before his initial contact. I mean, there were a lot of runs that I saw him really struggling to get to the hole at the line. Now, whether he should have cut it back or whether it bounced outside, I don't know, because I don't watch – some of that film, I'm trying to understand what the concept is, but there has been some penetration. There has been some guys, not only being there at the point of attack, but not moving that line of scrimmage. You know, we talked about John Jerry earlier, but it's got to be an attitude. It has to be an attitude when you want to get that back some success. And I think, obviously, you go back to that Houston game. I mean, he did well when he was a compliment to Rashad Jennings, and he said, okay, if Rashad Jennings goes down, you have a similar type of back. I just think Andre Williams needs to just find his rhythm and find his mojo, if you will. And I think he will find it the second half of the season.
Okay, folks, we do want to tell you, listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Now hurry and get a free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home $10,000. Head to DraftKings.com now. Enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for a free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. All right, we go back to Giants chat, Roman, and let's see if we have a few more here that I want to read to some folks. We have here, all teams get injuries, says Vic Fontana. The Pats lost Brady and went 11-5. That's a tribute to their backups and coaches. Our bench is not as strong. Ben Colview says he didn't have Wayne last week. How much do you think that had anything to do with luck last week and spreading the ball around? Well, he's been spreading the ball around all season long.
Right.
So let's make something very clear. That does lessen the loss of Wayne, but it still does make a difference because Akeem Nicks has not really stepped up and helped in that regard. He's been rather pedestrian for them thus far. We have Giants Carb Crush says, Paul and Roman, what type of role do you see for Ogletree, possible punt return, splitting time with Parker in the slot? Well, what do you think? Ogletree's been here a couple of weeks now.
Yeah, and I think this is a time where you want to see some more of Ogletree. I just don't know where he is in terms of understanding the concepts of this offense. Now, he is a veteran. He can return well. He is a good – he's been good in the red zone when he was – from his days at Dallas, at least. But you have to hope that after 2 weeks, he's put himself in a position to really demand more playing time and insert himself more into the offensive rotation.
Weehigh Click says, let the rookies play. I'm very interested in what they can do. Can it be worse than some of our starters? He also says, you know how I know we are not blitzing enough? When's the last time you heard the word NASCAR package? Well, the NASCAR package doesn't involve blitzing.
No,
that involves getting four pass rushers and telling them to go get the quarterback.
Yeah, and that was the year where that NASCAR was big. I mean, you had a lot of times where the defense was playing with the lead, and you had the luxury of putting in all pass rushers because the team had to throw the ball. You go to that a little early, now they're going to run the ball. They're going to flex the tight end out. You're going to get NASCAR. You're going to bring him back inside, and now you're going to run the football. And you've got four guys that want to penetrate and get upfield. You can run draws in that package. You can do a lot of things to disrupt the timing of what that package is intended to do. So, you know, I know a lot of people like to say, oh, what about this, what about that? But you have to say what works well based on the personnel. You've got a defensive secondary that, you know, 6-7 weeks ago was one of the better defense secondaries in the league, at least you thought, by design and by where they were talent.
Right.
Now you've got health concerns in the secondary, and you might see I would probably say you see more of a three safety package than you would see a NASCAR.
Okay, so answer me this.
Right.
Do you go more nickel in this game, understanding that Luck spreads the ball around, likes to pass it, but then again, he does a lot of that check down stuff to the running backs, and you know that Bradshaw is going to run harder than he's ever run in his life,
right.
And Richardson is coming off a game where he didn't play because of injury, but he's rested and ready to go too. Because I think if you go to the extra DB, you go to that big nickel look, so to speak, you are probably leaving yourself a little susceptible to the dump downs and the runs.
If that extra DB is a solid tackler, you won't get vulnerable to the runs and the check downs. If you can cover, obviously the nickel package, the DBs, because you can cover better than a linebacker. But that DB's got to be a tackler because now you're going to have to – you're putting yourself in a position where a nickel defensive back, like a Jaron Hosley or whomever that might be, is going to have to tackle Richardson or Bradshaw. When they get the ball.
One-on-one.
Now, you take a back like Bradshaw, like Richardson, and throw them a dump pass or a halfback choice where they're getting the ball at full speed now, coming against a defensive back, that's not a good matchup for that defensive back.
No.
Not at all. So, but I think, as you know, Paul, it's a chess match. I mean, you've got to figure out what you think they're going to do. So you line up based on what their tendencies are. That could change in the first five plays of the game. That first third down, that first obvious passing situation. So Perry Fuel definitely has to work it out for him, but it's nothing unusual. I mean, the Colts didn't reinvent football here. But again, they're a smart, tough team.
31 points a game.
Yeah, 31 points a game. They're scoring extremely well, and they will throw the ball up. And you have to believe that this secondary is saying, okay, they throw the ball that much, he's going to throw some interceptions. You're going to look at film of the last 2 years, the things that Andrew Luck's done well, and the things that he hasn't done so well, and try to make this offense of the Indianapolis Colts a little more vulnerable so that they can have more favorable matchups that favor the defense of the Giants in the secondary.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
how do you deal with Dwayne Allen and Colby Fleener? Because those two tight ends, and they'll run a double tight end set, okay? Fleener has 3 touchdown catches this year of his 18 grabs. And Allen has 6 touchdown receptions on 22 grabs. So that's 9 touchdown passes to the two tight ends, and we're only halfway through the season. So are you putting a safety on those guys? Because both of them have proved they can score.
Well, it's not about – now, if you play man, it's going to have to be a safety, or it might be like a Jaquan Williams who's responsible for Fleener or the tight end like in the flat.
The danger there, though, is that Jaquan is so quick and athletic, you probably want him to shadow Bradshaw more than you do a tight end, don't you?
But, again, it can't be about one guy. It's got to be about what system you run. And look, if it's Jaquan Williams, he's got to be able to do multiple things. This play, if
he's
on
a 3-down backer now.
Yeah,
he's earned that this year.
You have to shadow Bradshaw on a play. You might have to cover Toby Fleener downfield another play. Another play, you might have to blitz. Another play, you might have to do something else. Or you don't see him as a pass rusher as much. But, again, you're going to have to put guys on the field that can cover for the 2 or 3 things on any given play that the Colts are going to be able to do. So it can't be just about one, for instance, or one what if. And Kennard. Kennard is up this week. And he's a young, tough physical guy, almost like a younger DeQuell Jackson. I think a lot of people made those comparisons when DeQuell Jackson was at Cleveland.
Right.
Tough physical guy. I think Devin Kennard can be that guy, and then he's going to have an opportunity against this top offense of Indianapolis to see what he can do on Monday.
If they go with the 3 linebackers.
Right.
Again, there's a chance that Perry Fuel just decide, hey, you know what, I want to go nickel primarily and go with the extra safety.
Right.
In which case you would think that Stevie Brown would be the third safety in there ahead of Berhe. At this point, you know, Stevie Brown, after he got benched, it's kind of difficult to determine where he stands in the pecking order.
Well, you hope that you get somewhat of a glimpse of the 2012 Stevie Brown this game, because the Colts and Andrew Luck will throw a lot of footballs downfield.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. No doubt about that at all. Interesting number, Roman, in looking at the Colts offense, or should I say, I'm sorry, the Colts defense. Pittsburgh was 8 of 13 on third down last week. The Bengals were 1 of 13 on third down when they got shut out 2 weeks ago and were held to 135 yards total offense. The Bengals also suffered 4 sacks in that game. Now, the thing that bothers me from that perspective, if you're the Giants, and that's the film that I would be showing the coach, the players, by the way, if I'm Coach Coughlin, I'm showing them the Bengals game. Okay? Yeah. Don't look at the Steelers game. Look at the Bengals game.
Right.
The Bengals have some weapons too now. That is not a wussy offense we're talking about.
Yeah, and you know the Bengals, you know, they were considered one of the better teams in the league early on, and then they had a tough stretch against the Colts and the Patriots.
But
so.
That's not struggling. That's getting the living stuffing big beat out of you.
That's you're not as good as we thought you were. But again, this isn't about the Bengals. But look, Paul, I think you know this. We've said this a lot. You've got to bring your A game. You've got to be able to handle everything that a team can do offensively and defensively. And it really starts with an attitude. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, Mike Patterson against these two rookies, the Colts offensive line. I'm looking forward to seeing this team bounce back. You go from a devastating loss on the road against Philadelphia. You play better against Dallas, but you still don't find a way to win. Now you have a bye week. You rest yourself and you kind of regroup with that mental focus. And this tough stretch of the schedule that everyone saw when the schedule came out in May was, oh, man, hopefully they can be 5-2 at that point. Look, the record is what it is, but you have a chance to come out and rectify and say, are you the team that you were when you won 3 in a row, when you were scoring 30, or are you the team that you showed the last 2 weeks? And the men in that locker room are going to dictate that on Monday night.
Here's the bottom line, Roman. Monday night, the Giants have a game against the Colts. It is Michael Strahan Hall of Fame night. You and many of his other former teammates and many of the Giants Hall of Famers will be in attendance. You guys will set up a gauntlet for Strahan before the kickoff. So, again, everybody get there early if you can. Get in your seats. Enjoy the celebration for Strahan. At halftime, he will get his Hall of Fame ring. And, again, many of his former teammates will be down there to watch him get that presentation. And it's usually a night, anytime you honor one of your former players or coaches, it's usually a night that everybody gets jacked up for. There's usually a real buzz. There's usually a real excitement in the crowd. And as Coach Tom Coughlin told us earlier today, the Colts have been fast starters. They've been very good in the first quarter this year. Well, you know what? That can be a real killer and a real kill buzz for a crowd of this nature. So the Giants, I do believe, if they're going to take advantage of any of this Strahan night festivities, got to get off to a good start.
Yeah, especially defensively. You know what the Colts can do offensively. They've started fast, as you alluded to, but defensively, just the whole ambiance, being back at home. Coach Coughlin mentioned, you know, he even said the word 12th man in terms of being back home for the first time really in a month. And I think defense especially has to pick up off of that vibe. I mean, you still have a few guys, you know, like Mathias Kiwanuka that played with Strahan. And I think some of that energy has to be summoned onto the field. And, I mean, he's one of the great Giants, one of the greatest football players of all time. And I was fortunate to be his teammate for 4 years, you know, in those early stages of Strahan's success. This game is going to be a dogfight. But I think there are some things that the Giants have done well that they, if they do those things well, continue to improve that despite the last 2 weeks. They can come out victorious.
We got a lot going on at the facility today. That's why I'm packing up here just a moment or two early, because it is a busy day as the Giants get ready for Monday night's game against the Colts. Again, we're here every Monday to Friday from 12 to 1 Eastern Time on Giants.com with Big Blue Kickoff Live, 201-939-4513. Tomorrow, it's Anita Marks and Jeff Fiegels. Today, you've been listening to Roman Oben and me, Paul Dottino. We'll see you next time.
Come on, man, we need the work. Let's go, let's go.
Down the middle of the field, he's got through. 35, 30.